Standing, take your Bibles, please. Psalm 3. Psalm 3, we're going to read through all eight verses together, and we'll read responsively. But Psalm 3, we'll read responsively. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 3, verses 1 through 8. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, thy glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use the preaching of the Word of God today. Lord, first of all, if there's somebody not sure they're going to heaven today, may they understand the gospel today so that they could know for sure they're going to heaven. But Lord, I pray that you be with your people. Lord, we're sinful and we're in need, but yet we're sincere and we'd like to have your blessing on us. And I pray that you would teach us from the Word of God today how we could do that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please look at me. There may be a little stirring from junior church, but I need everybody's attention. Look right this way, and I mean this. If there would be no going in and out unless it were an emergency and your phones are off, it sure will help me. Have you ever felt like the whole world was against you? Did you ever feel like you were in a pit of quicksand sinking and there was no way out and it's getting awful deep, awful quick? Did you ever wonder why it seems that the more you try to live right, the harder it gets? Seems like the more you try to do for God, the more things fall apart, the more opposition that there is. Did you ever look around and you were struggling and doing your best for God and wondered why, how could all the people that hate God, all the people that despise God, people that aren't living right, they seem to be doing better than you are? Wow. Have you ever felt like the world's just getting harder on Christians and lighter on everybody else? Now, young people here in front, look at me. No more talking, look this way. Psalm 3 is a passage I run to often. It's a psalm that I run to when the pressures of life and the pressures of opposition seem to be getting stronger and stronger. And when it's harder and harder to do right, I run to Psalm 3. Can I tell you something? We all face opposition. Do you know that you're not going to get through this life without opposition? You're not going to get through life without turmoil. You're not going to get through life without opposition or fear or even wrong in your life. Seems like some handle it better than others when we face these times. Your problem may be financial. It may be your health. It may be someone in your family. But we all face pressure. God does not keep the pressure away from you all the time. Let me say that again. You know, God never promised to take all the pressure away from you in life. But God did say he would go through that pressure with you. You know, there is such a thing as sowing and reaping. Yesterday afternoon, the sun came out finally after 2 weeks. Praise the Lord. I woke up Thursday morning and I thought I had webs between my toes. We've had so much rain. And I went out to see how my garden was doing. The weeds were doing great. But I went out and I had planted beans here not long ago. And they're just starting to poke through the dirt. And I was like, good, they're going to make it, I think. If we can get a little sunshine on them, they're going to make it. You know, those beans aren't going to bring corn. Did you know the taters I planted that are about that tall right now, they're not going to bring green peppers? Say, why? You say, preacher, that's kind of silly. Right, but whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And because we're all sinners, there is penalty and there's destruction and there's curse that goes with sin. And because we're all sinners, we're all going to end up reaping for sin. Sometimes it's our sin that we're reaping from. Sometimes, by the way, you don't grow all the food you eat. You benefit from what someone else has reaped. Can I tell you something? You're also going to pay for it to get it. And because we're all sinners, we sometimes pay for what other people have sown. Miss Kim's at her son's graduation this weekend from college, but she recently had neck surgery. She had neck surgery because a drunk driver hit her about 2 years ago. Can I tell you something? I don't think God looked down and said, okay, I want Kim to be hit by a drunk driver, and I'm going to make that car hit Kim. I don't think God works that way. Can I tell you something? But she was reaping from someone else's sin. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, hang on. We're going somewhere. God does not promise to take these pressures away from you. But God does say in Psalm 3, there is a way to get through these pressures. There is a way to make it through. And that he would be with you each and every step of the way during those pressures. Can I tell you something? God says here in Psalm 3, best way I know how to say it in West Virginia terminology, you can make it. You can make it. You see, even though it seems like the opposition's there, you can still make it. God tells us that no matter what, we're supposed to live right, whether it's going right or not going right. By the way, the more opposition you face is because of the more right you're living. You know, I grew up in church. You know, I've heard preachers say this my whole life. Well, as long as God keeps opening the door, I'll keep walking. Can I tell you something? The devil can open doors too.
Yes, sir.
And I found out you can open your own doors too.
Yes, sir.
Usually when everything's going smooth, I'm wondering, am I going the right direction? See, when you're doing a work for God, and when you're trying to live for God, you're going against the forces of evil and the forces of the devil. You better expect things to get a little tougher when you're fighting the devil. Can I tell you something? Every time old smutty face sticks his nose into my business, I say, I'm going the right direction. I'm going the right direction. You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit, amen? When he starts yelping, I know I hit him. And usually the one you hit's coming back after you. Say, what do you do? Load up and hit it again, amen? Now, wait a minute. It's during the opposition, though, and how we handle ourselves that I want to deal with today. God shows us here in Psalm 3 how to handle or how to get victory over that opposing pressure. Did you know the great people of this Bible that you read about, you would not know about them unless it was for the great opposition they faced? What made them great was the opposition and getting through it, not that they lived their life with no opposition. I'm talking about Noah. I'm talking about Moses. I'm talking about Joseph and Esther and Ruth and David and Daniel and Job, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Jeremiah, the disciples, the Apostle Paul. Every one of them faced great opposition, and you call them great because they made it through the opposition. The greatness they achieved was because of the greatness of the opposition that they faced. Now, Today, I want to help you. I must go back about 7.5, 8 hours ago this morning, though, when I woke up. My phone buzzed at 4 o'clock this morning. As it buzzed this morning, I reached over and found my glasses, Brother Mike, so I could read it. My arms aren't long enough to read a phone without my glasses, amen? And it's not a big enough screen, and there's just no way. And I got a text from a pastor friend out of state. And he said, Brother Bush, will you pray? His teenage son came home from work last night at 10 o'clock. His dad wanted to check his phone, and while his dad was checking his phone, he told his brothers that he was going on a walk and he didn't come home all night. He said, I don't know what happened, but he just ran away. Oh, my heart broke. I've been there. I said, Doc, I'm praying. He said, would you pray for my wife? She's cried all night. She's laying at the door waiting for him. Oh, that's how my morning started. I said, Doc, run to Psalm 3, and you and your wife sit there and read it. About a half hour later, he texted me back. He said, thanks, preacher. He said, we needed that. I said, I know you do. Oh, by the way, Sunday school started, my phone buzzed. He found him. Got him home. But I'll be honest with you. My heart hurt. Oh, it's not over. I'm sure there's a little bit of a battle to go through. But can I tell you something? I was glad I had the Word of God to share with a pastor friend to say, run to the Word of God. Run to the Word of God. Run to the Word of God. You're facing a battle. Run to the Word of God. Folks, you don't understand. We're all hurting. Say, well, did he go out into sin? First of all, that's none of your business. Second of all, who cares? There's a mama and a daddy hurting and a young man that is a little bit confused right now. Who cares what, where, or anything else? And by the way, I told that pastor, if your son needs somebody to talk to, give him my number. I'll talk to him. I'll love him. I said, you just love him back. It'll be okay. Now, listen to me very carefully. God gives us a sweet little outline here in Psalm 3 of how to face opposition. How to face those opposing forces. And by the way, before you criticize a preacher for his son doing that, there's people in the world that have that a whole lot worse than that happen every day of their life. And by the way, preachers' children are no different than anybody else's children. We're all sinners. Yes, sir. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I can say that. Mine are out of the house. I've been through what that man's been through and far worse. It'll be okay. But may I say this? Let's not worry about criticizing somebody. Let's worry about praying for them and lifting them up, especially because before too long, it could be you. Here in Psalm 3, God shows us how to face opposition. I'm not much. I know that. I've been preaching for 35, almost 36 years now. I've been in the ministry full time for almost 27 years. Can I tell you something? I've learned one thing in all this time. I've learned how to face opposition and make it all the way through and not be destroyed. Amen. Brother June, you and I were talking yesterday. There is not one spot in that heart that is against anybody. I don't do much well, but I don't have any enemies to me personally. They may not like my internal organs, and they may be bitter with me, but I'm not bitter with them. There's not a human being on the face of the earth that couldn't walk through that door and I couldn't reach out and shake their hand and say, I love you. Not a one. Person, it's people that have hated me the most, they're welcome here. Now, they might not be teaching Sunday school and running things around here, but they're welcome here. By the way, If they'd come here enough, and they'd get their heart right, and they'd get that right, I'd have them teaching Sunday school again. Wouldn't bother me a bit. You say, you do that, preacher? Yeah, that's what growth and grace is all about. I'll promise you, I'm not bitter with any human being on the face of this earth, not one. I harbor no bitterness. I can put my head down tonight and tell you there's nobody on the face of the earth that Craig Bush hates. There's not one person in this world I would not help. Maybe not Hillary. I would help her. I'd give her the gospel. That's about as far as we're going. Now, wait a minute. I want you to see what God has to say this morning. And if you have your Bible open there, this will be a blessing to you. God helped the psalmist through here, and I want to show you what God gave him word for word. Number one, God is my shield. Look at verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Can I tell you something? A shield, look at me, is something that is more of a defensive piece of equipment. A shield, back in these days, was usually a wood frame, and it had about 6 to 12 layers of animal skins over it that were soaked in oil. They were stretched and pulled tightly, and there was so many of them because it would be used to absorb the shock and the concussion of incoming arrows and stop them. It would stop rocks and things being pelted at them. It could even stop a sword from cutting all the way through. They were so thick and so made in such a way that it was a defensive thing. Now, watch this for a second. It, according to Ephesians 6, it's also able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. They would soak these skins in oil, and people would either shoot or blow or fire like flaming arrows or darts. And those things were made to hit and catch an area on fire and cause more damage. I don't know about you. There's not many things in life that hurt worse than burns. There's not many things that are as destructive as fire. And but I want you to notice something about this. A shield protects from projectiles and closer attacks. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16, about the whole armor of God that you take, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Can I tell you something? Faith is a shield. And by the way, faith is not this refabricated positive mental attitude. Everybody doing all right? Here's what we think faith is. Bless God, Brother Mike, I got the faith. I have faith that if I let go of my keys, they're not going to hit the ground. Oh, I got faith. God, I got faith. God must not be listening. Now, folks, that's not faith. That's foolish. There's something called gravity, and God's not going to stop gravity for you. Just because your power of positive thinking says that you think God can, I think I can, I think I can, I think God can, I think God can, doesn't mean God has to. Faith is this: you do all you can according to that book and he'll take care of the rest. You do your part and God makes up for that which you cannot do. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch this. You don't get saved by your works. You don't get saved by your faith. God even gave you the faith necessary for salvation. According to the book of Romans chapter 12, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. And that what? That is a pronoun renaming the preceding noun, which is faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You've got to get to the point where you realize you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you deserve the same punishment on you as Satan and the angels that followed him in heaven, because it's the same sin. And it was pronounced on the devil and the angels before man was created. And God's justice requires the same punishment for sin, death and hell. ooh, wait a minute, that's not good news, is it? No, but Jesus came and paid the price for you. He gave you the faith necessary, and the moment you realize you're a sinner, needing what Jesus Christ did for you, and you accept what Jesus Christ did for you, the virgin birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the applied blood on the mercy seat, guess what? You're on your way to heaven. It's not getting baptized in the baptistry. It's not joining the church. It's not living a good life. Those are things you do. Everybody doing all right? See, faith is, God, I've done what I can. I've realized I'm a sinner, realized my sin causes me to deserve hell, and I realize I need a Savior. God says, I'll take care of the rest. I'll do what you cannot do. Wow. You say, well, don't you believe in baptizing folks, preacher? I've baptized thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But it's just like my wedding ring. I can take it off and still be married. You can get to heaven without being baptized. It just lets everybody know you've identified with your salvation with Christ. That's all that is. The thief on the cross that got saved didn't get baptized that day. He died and went to heaven and met Jesus there in heaven. So I guess you, by the way, say, well, I know in the Bible where it says believe and be baptized, yeah? And it also says believe not and be damned to hell. It's not the baptism, it's the belief. Amen? Everybody doing all right? So faith is doing what you can and letting God take care of the rest. Hey, we're living by faith. We're jumping out into a building program. We're going to do what we can and say, okay, God, you got to do the rest. But we're not sitting here saying, okay, God, drop $700,000 in the bank account. We believe God. Do I believe he can? Yes, I do. But we're supposed to do what we can and let God take care of the rest. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, God, by faith, will not only keep the darts from hitting us, he can quench those darts. Now, wait a minute. Our faith has to accept the fact that every once in a while, Brother Gus, those darts and those arrows are going to stick into that shield. They might even poke you from time to time. But hang on, the oil's going to squelch them out, even pull them out. He didn't say that people weren't going to shoot at you if you have your shield. Folks, if you don't have the shield, you're done. God didn't say just because you have a shield, somebody's going to say, well, I'm not going to point at them. No, you become a bigger target. You become a more prominent target. Everybody doing all right? Because they want you. So the devil's not going to quit firing at you because you have a shield of faith. But may I say this, eventually, if they hit you, God will protect you with that shield of faith by quenching those fiery darts that come your way. It doesn't mean that the fire goes out immediately either. Sometimes it's going to burn a little bit before it goes out. But it will go out. When you face opposition, God didn't say, oh, as soon as it comes your way, it's going to be gone. No, it's going to come your way. But hang in there. We'll get through it together because God will be your shield. Right. Too many of us want to be the shield. Too many of us want to say, God, it's got to be this way or you're not a good God. Who are you to judge God? A couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon, quit trying to be God to God. Too many of us put God in a genie lamp and we rub it and say, okay, God, this is what I want. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be mad at you. Well, his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. And he's a whole lot higher than you are. And by the way, way much higher than I am. Who am I to tell God what I'm supposed to have? He sees the beginning before the end and we haven't even seen the beginning. So God is your shield. Can I tell you something? When the opposition comes and I get a gut punch, I say, God, whew, sure would have been a whole lot worse had you not been there. That didn't feel real good, but I'm glad you're my shield. I need you to protect me. God, will you help me? Number two, God is our glory during opposition. Once you notice verse 3 again. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. Man, I love this. Are you ready? I'm about to shout. Can I tell you something? God still deserves the credit for being good even when there's opposition. God still deserves the credit for being good, even though there's opposition. Brother June, that pastor this morning, about 6 o'clock, my phone buzzed again. I sit in my office. He said, "Preacher, the birds are still singing, and the sun's starting to come up. God's still good." He hadn't found his boy yet. But he was praising God that the sun was coming up and the birds were still singing. I texted him back very quickly a verse in Psalms. "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Can I tell you something? You're not so hot that you made the sun come up this morning, but you didn't stop it either. It rains on the just and the unjust. God takes care of those that love him, and God takes care of those that hate his name. God loves all of his creation, not just those that love him back. Can I tell you something? God loves you, and God is your glory in spite of the pressure you're under. You need to learn to praise God even when you're under pressure. Even when you're under pressure. When pressure comes and we tend to only hibernate and we focus on that pressure, we forget to give God the glory for what is good. About a year and a half ago. It wasn't that long ago. Because our dog was just a puppy. So about a year ago. I got up one morning. That cotton picking thing was downstairs, and I had to get something downstairs, and I didn't want to turn the light on to wake the dog up and wake the rest of the house up. So I went down there, thought I can get through, no problem. Needed to grab something off the lamp stand there. I didn't realize the night before we put the footstool right in front of that thing. I kicked that thing, thunk, and my toe broke. It was black clear back into this part of my foot. I said, "Dirty, wicked, rotten, bricker-bracker, Southern Baptist." I was trying not to cuss, and I didn't make it. Oh, that hurt. Here I am trying not to go and wake the dog up, wake everybody else up. My toe's going. Do you know, something so little as your toe, when you thump it like that, it's like your whole body is in pain. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul. How could something, or as my dad would say, it's too far away from your heart to hurt. But how could something so little, and you concentrate all of your focus on that one little spot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like teenagers when you get your first zit, and it's usually right in the middle of your face, you know, right there. "Oh, I can't go to school, I got a zit." You know, hang on, you'll have about 4 million more, don't worry about it. We focus on that one little spot. How about the 99% of my body that did not hurt? You say, "What did you say, preacher?" After I finally got my wits about myself, I finally got to the office. I'm hobbling, can't tie my shoes very tight. Matter of fact, I put a pair of cowboy boots on. That was the wrong thing to do. Because by the time I got to the office, my foot had swelled into my cowboy boots so bad that it looked like the sides of my boot were about to explode. I thought, I better take this boot off while I still can. And I took my sock off to look at my foot, and I shouldn't have done that either. Man, it was black and purple and creeping up to my, I said, "Praise God." And I thought, I got to praise God for something because this is hurting too bad. And I looked down there and I thought, well, I got 10 toes and I only got one of them. Praise God I didn't hit the other 9. I started laughing and God and I started having a good time and he said, "I told you to turn the light on." Wait a minute. Do you know, when you're facing opposition, just because that one little spot hurts doesn't mean everything in life is bad. Do you know, I didn't have to go down to the funeral home and check in because I broke my toe. Just because one thing got hurt didn't mean life was going to stop. And I'm glad. Now, my wife would have probably rather me do that because I was acting like a baby for a while, but that's what men do. Amen, women? All right. Can I tell you something? We need to focus on God's ability and not our own when the pressure comes. So many times we get hurt and we say, well, I just can't do that. But God can through you. You don't know how many times I've stood behind here thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it again. God, I just don't think I can make it. My heart's heavy. My heart's grieving. I've got this problem. We've got this pressure. I've got that pressure. God, I can't do it. And he said, you just get up and obey. I'll take care of it. The world says when you have pressure, back everything off. No, you're supposed to keep everything moving. Keep everything going as well as you can keep going and let God take care of the rest. He is to be your glory. Give God the glory for what happens. We are to give God the glory for what happens. The good, the bad, and by the way, even the stuff that doesn't make sense to us. Give God the glory. We need to see that God's not affected by the pressure. We are. Did you know it didn't hurt God when I thumped my toe, but it did me? And I don't mean this the wrong way. Listen to this statement very carefully. But this morning when that preacher and I were conversing about his need, God wasn't hurting because of that like he was. And God was still good. God was still good. It wasn't God's fault for what the young man did. It was the young man's fault. It wasn't mom and dad's fault, contrary to what the modern psychologists say. It was an individual responsibility. Now listen to this statement, but God was still good. It wasn't God's fault. Now, listen to me very carefully. I must hurry. Number three. This is the hard one. This is the one that hits me the hardest. I'm preaching at me this morning, not just you. I want you to notice the rest of verse number three. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Whew. I don't know about you, but boy, when the pressure comes, I can get my chin down. Whew. Oh, woe is me. Man, it's getting heavy. It's getting hard. But God says, when your chin's down, I'm going to lift your head. Pick your chin up. You can take it. Pick your chin up. You can take it. God is the one who lifts my chin when it's down. Did you ever meet the Christian whose chin's so low they're sucking the dirt off the carpet without getting on their hands and knees? Is dragging the ground. You know, God is the one who can give you the confidence to make it through. God's the one that will give you the confidence to make it through. You don't understand. I sat in my office this morning and I said, God, there's a preacher who's got to get up and encourage his church today. And his heart's crushed. He's not going to feel like it, God. You've got to pick his chin up. You've got to lift him up. You've got to supernaturally do what he cannot do, and he'll do it by his faith and your faith. God, please pick his chin up. I texted him. I said, Doc, I said, God wants to pick your chin up. You hold it up, he'll lift it. I said, it's going to feel like you just got punched in the face. I said, hold your chin up. You can take it. You can take it. You can make it. I said, you've counseled many, 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 many people through this. It's time to live what you preach. You can make it. You can take it. Between Sunday school and church. He said, I made it through Sunday school, preacher. I'm going to make it through church. My chin's up. I said, keep your chin up. Say, how do you do that? You let God lift it. You let God lift it. I don't mean this the wrong way, but God's not discouraged. You are. God sees the end before the beginning. You're only seeing the starting, and God sees the end of the process. I didn't always understand some of the negative things that came my way, but I thank God I went all the way through them and lasted long enough to find out. Can I tell you something? You're not always going to understand now. You may not understand in a couple days. You may not understand in a couple weeks. It may take decades to get through, but may I say this? Keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. I got an email this week from somebody that my wife and I worked with in California 27 years ago, 26 years ago. Haven't heard from them in over 25 years. I was their children's youth director. I haven't heard from them since I left Southern California in 1992. And they said, we were driving through a certain place and we thought of you. Tried to do some research and found your name on this church's website and thought we'd let you know we were thinking about you. Man, my oldest son had just been born for a year before we left there. I said, well, I gave him a little update. Josh is now pastoring and married. I have second child and what he was doing, my third child, what they were doing, what God was doing here. And they texted back, wow. They had three children. They had a set of twins and another child. Our oldest married a preacher's daughter. Our second twin married another preacher. Our youngest daughter's in church, active in church, and married to a firefighter. Told my wife, I said, haven't heard from him in a quarter century. Wow. It took 25 years to find out. Man, I was excited. It was just what I needed. And I didn't know I needed it till I got it. Then it was just what I needed. Can I tell you something? God's not affected by the pressure like you are. We allow that pressure to affect us. God's still God. It doesn't affect him that way. Now, number four, he picks up your, or number three, he picks up your chin. And by the way, come here, Brother Stoltz. When God picks your chin up, when it goes from like this, and you're in the mully grubs having a pity party for yourself, sucking dirt off the carpet without bending over, God picks your chin up and says, you walk through this and don't let your enemies see they hurt you. My daddy taught me something a long time ago. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. He said, son, if you ever get gut punched, you ever get hit, don't let somebody know they hurt you. He said, you let them know they hurt you, they're coming back after you. He said, I don't care how tough he is. He said, get back up and say, do it again. He said, because they won't come after you, a guy they can't keep down. Can I tell you something? I learned how to jump back up and say, here it is, try it again, dude. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you something? When my enemy attacks me, that's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That means get up, hold your chin up, let them know they didn't get you. It hurt, but you got back up and you can take it.
That's good.
See, I'm not sure I'm brave enough to do that. I wasn't sure I was brave enough to do it either, but I did it. And guess what? It works.
Amen.
Number four, I must hurry. And please listen to this. Number four, God is the only one who needs to hear me cry. Look at verse number four. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Can I tell you something? God will hear you cry.
That's right.
God hears you cry. I'm not against you coming to me and say, preacher, my heart's broke. I need your help. And that's one thing. But I don't think you ought to go to every person in the world and say, will you pray for me? I'm just so depressed. Everybody in the world knows you're depressed, what it's about, and what your problem is, and everything else. Folks, you don't need me to get up here every Sunday and tell you what's all wrong in my life and what all hurts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You need me to come here and pick you up and help you with what hurts with your life. If I came here and cried every week about my problem, my problem, my problem, my problem, my problem, my problem, you're not coming back because you came here to get encouraged to carry your problem, your problem, your problem. Say, preacher, don't you ever hurt? Every time I move. And if it ain't hurting, it's not working. But may I say this, when I cry, God hears me. When I'm in those times where I'm down, God hears my cry. I think that we ought to be able to share with somebody a heartache, but it doesn't mean the whole world needs to know your heartbreak. There are some things the world doesn't need to know. There are sometimes you'll go through a situation and I'll say, how about we just keep it to ourselves and not worry about it? We'll let people know to pray, but don't tell them what it is. You say, why? Because they don't need to know. Everybody doing all right? Not because we don't care. It's because not everybody needs to know. It's sensitive. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we share too much information. We become gossips and make it spiritual by making it a prayer request. Well, you're just trying to cover up people's sin. No, I don't have to cover it up. Jesus already took care of that with his blood. It's covered by the blood. Just the whole world doesn't even know about it. Well, I know somebody in your church. They're a sinner. Guess what? I know everybody in my church is a sinner. Just like you are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why does it surprise us when sinners sin? Well, I know somebody in your church that's a hypocrite. Well, you're just proving how much of one you are because you can't live by that book either. 100%. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, when somebody does wrong, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I come up, have them come up here and tell you what wrong they did. That's none of your business. Everybody doing okay? That's not biblical. Now, if they're in a position somewhere, they might need to step out of it for a while till they get themselves right, depending on what they've done. I understand that. But it's none of your business what they did, and keep your cotton picking nose to yourself. You got enough sin in your life, quit worrying about somebody else's. By the way, if you knew, what good does that do anyway? You can't forgive it. God's the only one that can forgive sin. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Woohoo! I don't need to seek pity from people around me. I just need to seek God's pity. Do you know, it's not my job to go from person to person. It's not my job to go to Josh or to go to Mrs. Lopez or to go to Joyce or to go to Malachi and say, oh, would you pray for me? I'm just so discouraged right now. Man, there's times I am discouraged and I'll say, God, I need encouraged. God hears my cry. God picks me up. He lifts up my chin and said, go out there and take another one. Round two, here you go. But man, God, that hurt. It's okay. Hold your chin up. Don't let him know he got you. He said, next time he goes to throw that punch, sneak one in on him before he hits you. That makes sense. Don't stand there like a dummy. Punch him back. Amen. The more we seek pity from others, listen to this, the less God can take care of our pity need. When you're looking for man to satisfy your pity, God says, I'm here waiting to help you if you just ask me. Now, I love you all, but you don't make as good a comforter as God does. You really don't. And it's my job to keep going. By the way, I'm here to help you. I'm here to catch your tears. I'm here to go through those problems, but let's quit seeking pity from everybody around us and not going to God. Boy, that's a good statement. Number five, and I'm done. I have two more points, but I'll hurry through them. I don't need to lose sleep. God's on call 24/7. I don't need to lose sleep. God's on call 24/7. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. Did you ever notice when you have a lot of pressure, you don't sleep real well? Now, for a guy like me, that's not good because I don't sleep much anyway. Got to bed about 11 last night. I was up before 4 this morning. That's not unusual, pretty normal. I can't afford to lose a whole lot more sleep. Amen, Brother Mike? Say, what do you do before you go to bed? God, I'm going to sleep. You take care of what I can't take care of while I'm snoring and slobbering on my pillow. Good night. You know, being awake all night doesn't fix it anyway. Some of you sit there and stew and worry, and then you get sicker because you haven't slept, and you're taking it all on you. And by the way, some of you require a lot more sleep than I do. I'm not against that. I'm not saying you have to sleep the way I sleep, but may I say this, you don't have to let the pressure get to you so bad you can't sleep. Sometimes there's chemical things that cause you not to sleep. Thank God, my doctor, about a year and a half ago, I had an appointment with her, and I said, look, 3 hours a night's not just cutting it, and it's not even a solid 3 in a row. I said, what can I do? And she put me on these natural pill, melatonin, praise the Lord. Man, I've been taking melatonin. I can sleep 4 or 5 hours, get up. I told my wife, I said, am I supposed to feel this way when I wake up? She said, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. I said, man, it's been 25 years since I felt this. And I do well. Now, maybe it won't help you, but it helped me. Praise the Lord. But you don't have to worry about it. Did you know when you're sleeping, God's awake? Quit staying up late and worrying. It's not going to change the opposition.
That's right.
Did you know your opposition's not staying up late worrying about you? Don't give them the satisfaction. Put your head down. Go to sleep. Not right now. Number 6, and I'm done. Look at God's blessing on his people. Look at verse number 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. I'm about to have a spell. Did you know you can get excited even when you're getting attacked about the fact that you're saved? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you know your enemy can't take that away? I look at old smutty face square in the God-given eyeballs and say, guess what? You might be hitting me. You might be hurting me. You might even be getting the victory right now, but I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell.
Amen.
I've read the last chapter, devil. I know where it ends up. I win, you lose.
Right.
So you do that? Oh, a lot of times.
Amen.
A lot of times. I'm hurting. I'm weeping and I'll say, devil, you're going to get yours. I want a front row seat when God throws the devil into hell the last time. I want to see it. I am so sick and tired of what the devil is doing. I just want to see it all. I can't wait till he gets his just dues. Can I tell you something? We need to look around and see how God's blessing our life. We need to look around and see how God's blessing our church. Well, that's one reason a Christian needs to be in church. That's a place where God blesses. And they have something when the tough times come to look at and say, well, it's not all bad because God's blessing. Notice it says, the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, not yourself. Sometimes I have to look and say, hey, God's blessing Ron and Tammy. Or God's blessing Joyce. Or God's blessing Fred and Wally. Put my arm around that old Barry yesterday at prayer breakfast. I said, you know you're a walking miracle? 6 months ago, you were lost and on your way to hell. You got saved. They put you on hospice 6 months ago and said you wouldn't last 3 to 6 months. Well, he passed 6 months this week. Nin, 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 yeah, devil. I had a spell. I'll be honest with you. I had a heartache yesterday. I watched that old bear, grizzle bear, walk through that door there for prayer breakfast, and that took care of it. Look at God's blessing. Amen. Can I tell you something? It might be low tide for you, but that means it's high tide for somebody else. Do you know for you to have high tide, somebody else has low tide? That water's got to come from and go to somewhere. Just because it's low tide now, guess what? High tide's coming. You hang in there. Water might be going out right now, but it's going to come back. Don't you worry. Rough in one area doesn't mean God stopped blessing in all areas. It's one reason we ought to be soul winners. Telling people about going to heaven. You might be having a tough time, but you go out there and show somebody how to know for sure they're going to heaven. Keep them out of hell. I'll promise you one thing. You'll charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Watch somebody get saved. Man, it's fun. It's exciting. Can I tell you something? We need to learn to truly get excited about somebody else having God's blessing on their life when it's not on ours. We need to truly learn how to be excited about the blessing of God on somebody else's life when it's not on us at that time. Here's the average Christian. Well, God, how come you wouldn't do that for me? God, how come you were good to them and not good to me? May I say this in as spiritual terminology as I know how? You selfish little twit. How selfish we get. We want what everybody else wants. Why don't you be thankful somebody else got it? I have pastor friends that are in building programs. I have a pastor friend that somebody just gave him $85,000 for part of his building program. Say, what did you do? I rejoiced. I praised God. I thanked God for it. And I didn't ask him for the address of the donation. Say, why? God knows our need. He'll take care of it. If I can get excited about somebody else, God might say, if he's truly excited, maybe I got something down the road for him. We need to learn to get truly excited about... I'm excited when you young couples have babies, because that means I don't have to have any. They go with somebody else. I truly get excited for you. I'm thinking, you're excited. Yeah, that's why God gives you children when you're young and dumb. When you get my age, you think, there ain't no way I should have ever did that. Staying up late, changing all those nasty diapers, putting up with junior high. Man, God gives you kids when you're too young to know what you're doing. By the time you figured it out, you wouldn't have done it. Wait a minute. Learn to truly get excited about what others get as a blessing from God. By the way, can I tell you something? The same God that blessed them can bless you. He can. And he will, as long as you keep obeying him. When the opposition comes, how are they increased that trouble me? Say, well, preacher, everybody loves you. Yeah, right. You don't preach like I do and have everybody love you, just so you know. You don't live like I've lived all these years and have everybody love you. I've had preachers do everything but cuss me out, upset, mad, angry, tried to fight, tried to destroy. You say, they shouldn't do that. Well, neither should you. Why are you worried about it? They're sinners too. I'm not mad. I love them. I've had people get mad and leak churches that I've worked in. I'm not mad at them. Doors open, they can come back. Doesn't bother me. Now look at me for just a second here. It's okay. We got a little one. Now listen to me very carefully here. We need to realize God is our shield. God is the lifter up of our chin. God gets glory during the opposition. God is the only one who needs to hear me cry. I'm not going to lose sleep in the face of opposition because God will do the worrying for me. God wants to bless you as long as you're living with that book right there. As long as we follow that recipe, guess what? Bring on the opposition. Bring it on. You can take it. You can take it. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Watch this. He also said, I'll not put more on you than you can bear. Say, I don't think I can carry it. God does. God does. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let me ask a few questions and then we'll have our invitation. who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher," and by the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out just like I did not them. But who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But someday I'd like to know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? All right. There's a little one. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, tucked away somewhere inside that sermon was something that I personally needed. There's a part of that sermon that I needed, and I'll raise my hand and say, God, I needed that." Would you raise your hand? Oh, myself. Scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. And you may put your hand down. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized, we can care for that today. If you've been saved and baptized, you'd like to join our church, we can take care of that today. Maybe you raised your hand, and there's scores of people. You raised your hand and say, I needed that sermon. Then many of you ought to leave your seat and come to this altar. Use this altar. If you're physically unable, go ahead and stay in your seat and use your chair there. But God wants to help you through your opposition.